signify their presence this morning. Have all members voted this morning? Are all, Senator Ferguson? All members are present. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows all senators present this morning.
Shall we stand for the invocation?
Let us bow our heads and pray for God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we honor you today with our prayer of thanksgiving. We express our gratitude for the many blessings bestowed upon us in our great state, commencing with its purchase by William Henry Seward 117 years ago. Since that time, you have never ceased to care for us, showering down your blessings in beauty, health, and riches. As we look north to the future, may we continue to show Alaska's spirit of love and kindness to our fellow men and women. May we be willing to share our bounty, given us by yourself, with those not as fortunate as ourselves. May the Big Dipper continue to be full with your blessings, and the last frontier be a monument to you and the people of Alaska. Amen.
Senator Halford.
I move and ask unanimous consent for every spoken adjournment.
No objection is so ordered. Secretary, certify as correction the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify as for the journals for the 75th, 76th, and 77th legislative day, with a correction to page 2450, amendment number 1, change page 2, line 16, and Senate supplement number 66.
Under 8.
Move the journals for the 75th, 76th, 77th legislative days with the corrections as noted by the Secretary and Senate supplement number 66 be approved as corrected.
Without objection, it's so ordered. There are guests for introduction. Senator Eliason.
Mr. President, we have a number of young people from my community of Van Goon, and they're over here. They're sixth graders, and over here on sort of a visit, you know, legislature trip. And if you'll please stand when I call your name, Lisa Daniels, Lois Jamestown, Oscar Snell Jr., Daniel Willis, Larry B. James Jr., Sherry Singson, Marsha Ann Jim, Alfred Kukesh, and Marilyn James. With them is Peggy Williams, who is a teacher's aide, and Scott Young, who is their teacher, along with Marilyn Young and their daughter, Taya. Welcome, guys.
Senator Ray, we're at ease. Come back to order. You have the floor, Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I have a real pleasure of introducing two young men who will be performing at the Char Banquet tomorrow night together with Jay King. They're Marcus Smith. They're in the gallery behind me. Marcus Smith and Everett McKinnon. And they're part of the group called Close Encounters of the Funkiest Kind. It's a marvelous group, and I hope everyone will get to Char and enjoy their performance.
Senator Paul Fisher.
Yes, Mr. President, in the gallery behind me, we have visiting us again from Seward. This gentleman is also the hospital administrator of the hospital in Seward, Keith Campbell.
Senator Ray.
In this gallery, I have two ladies who are longtime friends of mine, Ms. Marjorie Tillotson and Ms. Eunice Logan.
Senator Farenkamp.
Mr. President, we have a young man I think that should be introduced today, especially since he's one of our own, and he had a birthday yesterday and became 20 years old, our own Bob Irwin.
Happy birthday, and we welcome you all here this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
There is a message from the House.
Messages of March 22. The House returns Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 33 amended, proposing an amendment to Rule 42A of the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to powers of conference committees. The House failed the House committee substitute. This will be filed. The Speaker appointed a third conference committee to meet with the Light Committee from the Senate to consider Senate Bill 257, Ethics, Representative Barnes chairman, Representatives Tischer and Szymanski. The President appointed Senator Ferguson chairman, Senators Kelly and Bennett on Friday. The House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Bill number 504, Finance, by the Finance Committee, an act establishing the Teacher Scholarship Loan Program and providing for an effective date.
I have a reason to believe that that may have a constitutional problem looking at the bill, so I'm giving it Judiciary Finance. Hess may wish the bill, or Judiciary may wish to give it to Hess in a day or two, but if Judiciary will look at it.
Those were the messages from the House, Mr. President.
Are there communications?
There are no communications today.
Reports of standing committees?
The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution number 38, out-of-court settlements by the state, and recommends be it replaced with a committee substitute and a majority do pass, signed Senator Ray Chairman, concurring Senators Josephson and Pettyjohn. SCR 38 has no further referral.
Rules Committee for placement on the calendar.
The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 384, Food Banks, and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a fiscal note and do pass, signed Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Hawford and Vic Fisher. SB 384 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill number 424, Recovery of Medical Assistance Expenses, and recommends due pass, signed Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Hawford and Vic Fisher. SB 424 has a further referral to Finance. The Judiciary Committee considered Senate Bill number 504, Unauthorized Use of Computer and Telecommunication Services, and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute Judiciary. Senator Ray, Chairman, and Senators Josephson and Pettyjohn signed due pass. SB 504 has a further referral to Finance. The Rules Committee considered the following. Senate Bill number 315, Road Improvement Districts, recommends calendar and the Resource and the Finance Committee substitute be adopted. Senate Bill number 500, Reduction of Litter and the Recovery of Materials and Energy from Litter, recommends the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted. Committee substitute for House Bill number 426, LNC, Group Life Insurance, signed Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senators Bennett, Kelly, and Ferguson. These three bills do appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
Are there reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
There are no bills or resolutions for introduction?
There are no new bills or resolutions.
Takes us to the daily calendar. The Secretary reads Senate Bill 315.
Senate Bill number 315 by Senator Fakes, an act relating to road improvement districts. The Transportation Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute and do pass, signed Senator Moss, Chairman, concurring Senators Fakes and Gilman. The Finance Committee considered this bill and recommends that it be replaced with a committee substitute Finance with a new fiscal note. Senator Bennett, co-chairman, and Senator Fakes signed due pass. Senators Mulcahy and Josephson signed no recommendation. There are two committee substitutes.
Committee substitute. Rules chairperson.
Yes, Mr. President, I move the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 315.
Objection. Finance Committee substitute has been adopted. Secretary, read the bill by title, authors.
CS for Senate Bill number 315, Finance, an act relating to road maintenance service areas and providing for an effective date.
There are amendments. Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
Absence of amendments. Senator Gilman has a question.
Mr. President, brief at ease, please.
We'll be at ease. Back to order. Rules, chairperson.
Yes. Mr. President, we've just found Senator Gilman and Senator Strzelczyk have found a technical error in one of the paragraphs on page 2 of the bill. I'd like to hold it for one legislative day to look at it and correct that problem through an amendment.
Without objection, will be held in second reading for one legislative day. The next item on the daily calendar is Senate Bill 500. Secretary, read Senate Bill 500.
Senate Bill number 500, by the Rules Committee, by request of the Governor, an act relating to the reduction of litter and the recovery of materials and energy from litter and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered this bill and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, State Affairs, signing due pass for Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, Senator Strzelczyk, Ray, and Kelly.
Senator, you have the floor, Mr. State Affairs Chairman.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
Objection is noted, Senator Gilman.
Mr. President, I objected for the purpose of possible amendment on Section 5, where it says beginning October 1, 1981.
Point of information, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
It's a possible amendment. Should we adopt something so that you can...
I thought you had adopted it.
No, sir. No. The motion has been to adopt the committee substitute, Senator. Excuse me. An amendment to amendment is correct, but is there objection to adoption of the committee substitute? There is none. It's adopted. Secretary, read the bill.
CS for Senate Bill Number 500, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the reduction of litter and the recovery of materials and energy from litter and providing for an effective date.
Senator Gilman has a question that may lead to an amendment. You have the floor, Senator
Gilman. Yes, Mr. President, my question is essentially on Section 5 again, and specifically on page 4, line 3, where it says, beginning July 1st, 1984, a person may not sell or offer to sell in this state beverage containers that are held together by plastic rings or smaller or similar plastic devices unless the rings or devices are degradable and bear a distinguishing mark approved by the department. And, Mr. President, my question is, how many of the existing rings or existing plastic devices do not have this distinguishing mark, and will we, by putting that date on there, cause problems with existing inventory? If you recall, Mr. President, on the first litter bill that was passed, I believe there was about 6 months time was allowed to elapse before that particular, I'm not sure whether it was that one or the pull top on the cans, so that existing inventories would be allowed to move out of either stores or wholesale. And I wonder if someone has done that investigation. This being a Senate bill, very, very likely will not be signed into law until nearly close to that date. And I just wonder if that's been taken into consideration.
Senator Fisher, do you wish to
respond?
President,
if I may respond. We looked at this section specifically. The language is acceptable to the industry. We checked directly with Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company, and since the meeting with a couple of others, and they all feel there's no problem. Apparently, they're moving toward biodegradable carriers, and since a lot of states already have this requirement, they've indicated this creates no problem for them whatsoever.
Thank you, Mr. President. That was not, you know, the law now calls for biodegradable devices, but it does not call for a distinguishing mark. And my question is, how much is going to be in the inventory that doesn't have the mark? And you go on and read the bill, and it says it doesn't have the mark on it, you're in violation, even though it's now considered to be degradable.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I think that in the discussion, as I understand this, and the question that the Senator is asking is, apparently now there are no identifying marks, but I believe that from what the industry said, as soon as the indications are that this bill is going to pass, and even if it doesn't pass, that they're going forward and putting the identifying marks on it and are going into the degradable packages now. And the only ones that would have non-identifying marks on them are the ones that would be sold prior to the date this law goes into effect, and those would be, you'd be all right, I suppose.
Mr. President, that's just my point. It's fine for the wholesaler, but the retailer that's got some of this stuff in his back room and he sells it after July 1 is going to be in a violation, because that's what it says. Offer to sell
after July 1. And we had this, Mr. President, we had the same problem when this bill went into effect. I don't remember how many years ago it was, 3 years ago, I think.
81.
And it was the same debate, and I believe there was a six-month differential between, 3 or 6 month differential between when the wholesaler had to put the, stop delivering and when the retailer had the opportunity to move his inventory.
You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, I'd be happy to check into the situation report back tomorrow if it so pleases the Senate.
Without objection, we'll just hold the bill on second reading. Next item on the daily calendar is House Bill 426. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 426, LNC, by the Labor and Commerce Committee, an act relating to group life insurance and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered this bill and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Elias and Chairman, concurring Senator Pettyjohn and Senator Mulcahy.
Are there amendments?
There are no amendments.
The original House bill, Senator Ray.
In the absence of amendments, Mr. President, I would move and ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 426, Labor and Commerce, be advanced to third reading and placed in final passage.
Without objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 426, Labor and Commerce, an act relating to group life insurance and providing for an effective date.
Before you for discussion debate, Mr. Commerce Chairman.
Mr. President, we'll try this one. Briefly, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee has reviewed Committee Substitute for House Bill 426 and supports the bill. CSHB 426 would liberalize the group life insurance code. Currently, the code is highly restrictive to whom may apply for group life benefits. Committee Substitute for House Bill 426 would allow any organization to apply for group life insurance as long as that organization did not form solely for the purpose of providing this benefit. The Division of Insurance strongly supports those proposed changes. Committee Substitute for House Bill 426 would allow a broader section of Alaskan citizens to enjoy the benefits of group life insurance without any loss of regulatory protection. Examples of groups which would come under Committee Substitute for House Bill 426 would be eligible for group life insurance are bar associations, medical associations, commercial fisheries associations, or pilot associations. The Division of Insurance strongly supports the bill. We have a number of letters of support from people out, different groups out there, and I would urge passage.
Ready for the question?
Question.
Senator Ray?
No, does this cover, through the chair perhaps, does this cover retirees at the same time? The only reason I brought it to my attention was on page 2, when it says dependents means the spouse and dependent children of an employee or member of the group. And I just wondered if member of the group means retirees as well.
Yep. We'll be there. Please come back to order, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President. Maybe I could answer that question this way. If, in fact, they have the ability to do it today, they would under this particular bill. This bill broadens the insurance, and I don't see why they would be restricted to participate.
Senator Ray, is this resolved? It is resolved. Is there further question of House Bill 426? Question is, shall House Bill 426 be adopted? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Have all members voted this morning? Yes, all members have voted. No member wishes to change their vote. Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 19 yeas, 1 absent.
Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Committee Substitute for House Bill 426, Labor and Commerce, be considered the roll call and effective date clause.
Without objection. Effective date clause is adopted. Next bill in third reading, Secretary Reid in third reading, Senate Bill 278.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 278, Resources Amended, an act establishing a waterfowl stamp and fee and providing for an effective date in third reading.
You have the floor, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, this is a very straightforward bill that sets up a state waterfowl stamp program. Most other states have this program. The legislation defines the parameters of the waterfowl stamp, the use of the monies that are derived from the waterfowl stamp, the amount of the waterfowl stamp, and an annual report to the legislature. Again, Mr. President, this is a program that has been supported by the state's hunters and sportsmen, by conservation groups, and it's received the strong support of the Department of Fish and Game, and I would recommend it to this body.
Senator Halford has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I concur with the statements of the prior speaker, and I certainly supported this bill as it was introduced, and I supported the version that came to this floor. However, there was an amendment adopted on this floor on Friday which establishes some exemptions from this fee. And one of the exemptions, I believe, creates a substantial problem. The first exemption is the 25-cent license holders. The second exemption is under 16. The third exemption is over 60. The fourth exemption is a disabled veteran. But the fifth exemption exempts residents of rural areas not connected by the road system. So we're going to charge a fee for the use of a resource based on the location of residency within the state. I think that's a bad policy. And I think we're making a serious mistake if we go forward with that language in the legislation.
You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, if I might respond to the distinguished gentleman from Eagle River. I think the language is desirable. First, it eases the administration of the program. We don't want it to be an onerous program. Secondly, this has historically been done. For example, permits north of the Yukon River were not required for the taking of caribou. I think making decisions on a geographical basis, based on the rationality of the program, is an acceptable way to manage the state's resources, as well as a rational way.
Good floor, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's not the geography of the resource that concerns me. I certainly support the differential treatment of different resource populations in various areas of the state. It's the geography of the residents of the state that are being determined by the exemptions provided for in this section. That, in fact, says that it is okay to treat people in different areas of the state differently by law in the management of this program, and I'm opposed to that.
Senator Rain.
Well, I want to thank the Mr. President. I want to thank the chairman of the Resources Committee for providing the two opinions. However, the one opinion from the Department of Law, when you start in talking about exemptions, then you would have a counter purpose. A regulation promulgated under the Pittman-Robertson Act provides that only those licenses that are for, quote, the express purpose of permitting the holder to hunt or fish for sport or recreation, unquote, may be used as a basis for matching funds. At the present time, we're matching funds with the Pittman-Robertson program. We're up to the limit right now. And we've never required a duck stamp, and now all of a sudden we're requiring a duck stamp. But the Pittman-Robertson Act again says that for the express purpose of permitting the holder to hunt or fish for sport or recreation. So it would seem to me then that the only true exemption that you could have is for subsistence, and that would more or less substantiate the exemption for those in rural areas.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 278 be adopted by the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 15 yeas, 5 nays.
Senator Ray.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of the committee substitute for Senate Bill 278 as amended be considered a roll call on the effective date clause.
Objection. So ordered. Effective date clause has been adopted. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citation honoring R.E. Bob Ellis, aviation pioneer, by Senator Ziegler, Ray, Eliason, Vic Fisher, Curtula, Petty John, and Halford. And Representatives McBride and Wendy.
Mr. President, could we have an at ease, please?
At ease. Back to order. Secretary, you've read the citation calendar?
Yes, sir.
Senator Ray?
there are no additions or corrections, I move the citation calendar be approved as read.
Citation calendar has been adopted. We're down to unfinished business this morning. You have the floor, Senator Rohde.
I would ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call of the Senate Tuesday through Friday. I'll be in Fairbanks on personal business and then outside on personal business.
No objection. Senator Sackett?
I move and ask unanimous consent. I'd be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday on personal business.
No objection. You have the floor, Senator.
I move and ask unanimous consent. I'd be excused from the call of the Senate Monday on personal business.
Next Monday? Right. No objection. Senator Victor Fisher.
Mr. President, I move and ask to be excused on Thursday the 19th and Friday the 20th of April on official business.
There's no objection. Senator Ray.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from a call to the House on April 12th and 13th on state business.
Ask unanimous consent.
Yes.
Unanimous. Without objection. You have the floor, Senator.
Could we revert to introduction of guests, Mr. President?
We have reverted to introduction of guests. There's
last
no
year I had two of my sons here who were visiting. This year they're down in Juneau with me and got a little off school early today, so I'd like to introduce them to you in case you see them running around the halls and getting in trouble. Give my office a call. Brooke, would you stand up? Brooke is 9, my oldest boy, and his brother Brendan is 8. Welcome to the Senate, boys.
We welcome you here this morning. You have the floor, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 278.
The consideration is noted. Are there announcements of committee meetings this morning? Announcement of committee meetings, Finance Chairman.
Finance Committee will meet Tuesday, March 27th, 9 a.m., taking up Senate Bill 402, an act relating to exemption from tax or credits against tax. Also, committee substitute for Senate Bill 228, an act relating to state aid for Indian tribes located on certain federal and established Indian reservations.
Further announcements of committee meetings, resources, Chairperson.
Mr. President, resources will be meeting today at 3 o'clock in the Belts Room. We'll be considering Senate Bill 480, an act relating to the establishment of certain commodity marketing commissions. Senate Bill 366, an act relating to protection of forested land. Senate Bill 361, an act relating to the management and use of watering mining and provided for effective date. And Senate Bill 462, an act making a special appropriation to the Mining Water Use Board for loans and grants concerned with the management and use of water in mining.
Further announcement of committee meetings this Monday. Items under special orders. Senator Moss.
Mr. President, I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak about a petition on a railroad.
There is no objection. You have the floor.
Mr. President, I have a petition here. It's got about, probably 100 names on it. It has to do with a concern that some people in the Anchorage area have about the railroad, its present operations, the Alaska Railroad. For example, south yard switching operations, gravel hauling, involve excessive noise and vibrations constituting a serious hazard to the health, welfare, and quality of life of the residents of the community through which the railroad passes. In addition, the soil conditions of this area are rated as high hazard earthquake zone, with clay underlayment subject to shifting with continuous vibration action, which is hazardous to properties and life. Basically, what they're talking about, Mr. President, is the so-called bootlegger coal clay that they have in the Anchorage area. They are concerned that the railroad is going to create more of a hazard for their home. I might point out, of course, that the railroad created the birth of Anchorage. I might also point out that the 64 earthquake probably should have created more ordinances or better protection from either the administration or the assembly to prevent the construction of many more homes and so forth in that area and probably some of the construction areas. We do have a problem. I realize that. The railroad itself, if it's not going to continue to create the problem of those people that have built there since the birth of the railroad, could possibly have to be rerouted or limit the operation of the railroad in that particular area, which might even mean, in the rerouting of the railroad, the possibility of thousands of dollars, even millions, being spent to route it in an area that would not be detrimental to homes and so forth. As a result of this, I'm going to propose that we have several teleconferences and possibly some conferences in the area to discuss the problems that they see, that they have. I might also point out, Mr. President, that Perhaps if we bring this the attention to the federal government at the present time, it's their liability in a way and not ours. Maybe we can even do some horse trading and reduce the cost of it. But I will be having some transportation meetings, either teleconferencing or possibility of meetings on site to discuss this particular problem. But and thank you very much.
The floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent to address the body on the same topic.
There's no objection.
I was up in Anchorage, and a number of these people are constituents of Senator Rohde and myself. And the particular community councils that are involved in that area would be Spinard, Turnagain, South Addition. The issue came from the South Addition area. Have made arrangements to have a meeting, and Frank Jones has consented to meet with them. And there apparently are a number of things in terms of equipment upgrades, roadbed upgrades, and so on that can be done. And I think that it's just been a question, really. This issue has come up, and there hasn't been some mechanism for the people to sit down on it. And I think right now information interchange is probably the most important thing. And I'm sure that I could give the good senator from Delta Junction information on some of the contacts that we've had so that people could be included. And I do think that the community is working toward getting that kind of information out.
You have the floor, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, might we revert to announcements?
We are reverting.
Mr. President, there'll be a minority caucus upon adjournment, a very brief one.
Senator Ray.
Some of the business come before the Senate. I move we adjourn at 10 a.m.
We are adjourned.
March 27th.